We'll be reading two passages, one from the Old Testament and one from the New, from Micah chapter 5, from 2 to 4. So Micah chapter 5, from verse 2. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor bears a son, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock, in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth. And the New Testament reading is from Luke chapter 2, starting from verse 1 to 15. So from verse 1, chapter 2. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house of the end line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you great news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord had told us about."
Well, I want to tell you about the time that I was driving home for Christmas, and I was nearly killed. Was living in Canberra at the time. I was in my early 20s, was heading back to Brisbane for Christmas, was really keen to shorten up the 16 hours drive, you know, that I had to go through. And I was driving along the Newell Highway, which is out west. And just to say, this story shows how foolish I was, how stupid I was. Do not do this. But I found myself behind a truck, and this is on like just a two-lane highway, and I'm thinking, I really want to get going here. And there's this car, you know, they're coming from the other direction, you know, but they're sort of quite a way away, and I think if I could just get around this truck pretty quickly, it'll be fine. So I sort of do the, you know, overtaking maneuver. I come up against the truck, and I realize actually it's a semi-trailer. In fact, it's a double B. It's two semi-trailers. And I've just got this little Gemini, Holden Gemini, that's got no power whatsoever. And I'm trying to get, you know, in front of this truck. As now cars are coming closer towards me, I'm trying to get in front of this truck and I am not succeeding whatsoever. And the cars are coming closer towards me. I don't even have time to actually get behind the truck anymore. And so what I do is I actually just zoom off the side of the road into the grass, the farm beside. And I'm as white as a ghost and I'm shaking. And how stupid am I? You know, get home for Christmas for, you know, 30 seconds quicker is not worth your life. Now, I say that because, well, I'm not trying to offer you a public service announcement on travelling home safe for Christmas, but we are going to look at the original Christmas story of travelling home. And that is Joseph and Mary and Jesus. But I want to get all serious to say that your life and my life does depend on how we respond to Jesus, who's at the center of Christmas. And getting all serious at Christmas Eve But I can't help but talk about this because the stakes are high and it really does matter. So we just had read Luke, one of the accounts of the birth of Jesus. I want to set the scene here for this story that we just read. I want to talk about it historically and geographically. Historically, we're told, verse 1, Jesus was born in the days of Caesar Augustus. Now, there's the man himself. Caesar Augustus, he ruled the Roman Empire from 31 BC to 14 AD. We're even told about his own local governor. His name is Quirinius. Now, for you social media users out there, you might have seen this thing that went viral this year. But apparently, you can ask any guy how often they think about the Roman Empire, and you'll be surprised apparently about how often he does. I don't know, it's a thing, okay? And I'm just helping that along tonight, okay? Jesus was born in the time of the first Roman Emperor, Caesar Augustus. So that's the historical setting, but also want to give you the geographical setting. And here's a map. This is the part of the world we're talking about. But notice, this is a modern map. It shows places like Lebanon and Syria and Jordan and Egypt. You can see Gaza there. Maybe you've been wondering exactly where it was. There you go. You know, these past weeks where atrocities and a terrible death toll has been, we've been seeing the news. Of course, you know, this particular nation state layout didn't exist in the time of Jesus. Back then, it was just the land of Judea in the Roman Empire under Caesar Augustus. But to say that this is the setting for the first Christmas. We've got the time of Jesus. We've got the place of Jesus. But let's now look at what happens. Joseph and Mary have been living in Nazareth, but now they're on their road trip to Bethlehem. But not for a Christmas holiday, are they? Because, you know, what the Roman emperor wants, the Roman emperor gets. See, he issues a decree across the land. In other words, everyone needs to be counted and registered. And that way, you're on the books so they can bleed you dry with all the Roman taxes. Now, with Joseph and Mary, pregnant Mary on the road, people have figured, they've thought, well, okay, a woman in a third trimester, I don't know, rough roads, probably took them maybe about 5 days. You know, if Mary ever said, "Are we there yet?" could you blame her? So they've got this road trip going on, this homecoming, but where are they going? Well, Luke, who's narrating these things, we're told this. He says, to Bethlehem, the town of David. Actually, further along in the story we just read, an angel actually says, today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. In fact, later on, it's a shepherd's turn. Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened. A lot of attention given to the hometown they're going to. It's Bethlehem, and history types reckon maybe around at that time, maybe the town was about 300 people, just a small village really. But this town had a nickname, didn't it? The town of David. So I want to ask you, do you come from a town, a place that's known for something? Actually, this is audience participation moment. Well, crowd participation moment, I guess, in a way. What I want you to do, I want you to turn to someone around you and just share, do you come from a place that's known for something? And maybe you're born in Brisbane, you know, a bit boring, but maybe your suburb that you live is known for something. But do you come from a place that's known for something? I just want you to spend 1 minute, say good day to someone, and share between you what you come up with. All right. Go. All right, that'll do. All right, for those willing to go there, thank you. I won't I won't get people to shout out. I was thinking about, no, I won't do that tonight. But I want to tell you about myself. I was born in Rockhampton, central Queensland. And when I think Rockhampton, I reckon it's famous for statues of bulls. So if you ever want to go on a holiday destination and see statues of bulls, well, Rockhampton is your destination, okay? But this is Bethlehem. What's Bethlehem known as? The town of David. Now, why is this significant? Well, we started this series actually last week, so a whole bunch of you weren't here last week, but I just want to say, we started this series at Christ Central. It's called The Promised Saviour, and we're looking at this story, this truth that Jesus wasn't just born. In fact, he finally arrived because he was promised, he was prophesied. And last week, we actually dived into the Bible a bit and we looked at some of the ancient prophecies of the Bible, like in the book of Genesis. Then we dived into another part of the Bible, the book of Numbers. Then we got to another part of the Bible, the book of 2 Samuel. If you read 2 Samuel, you actually get to the story of David, the greatest king of Israel. And it's an epic story. I recommend you have a read of it. But David is the king to whom God made this promise that he'll have a descendant who'll sit on the throne and rule forever and ever. And this coming promised king came to be called the Anointed One, or in other words, the Christ, or in other words, the Messiah. They're just the same, Christ, Messiah, they're the same word, but different language, Greek, Hebrew. And you can all, and you can you guess where David was born by any chance? Well, he's born in this little town called Bethlehem. So to our timeline of Old Testament promises, we can also add in the prophet Micah. Jess read this before, but this is the background to all these very intentional mentions of the town in this account of Jesus' birth. Let's read it again. It says, it's on the screen. It says, "But you, O Bethlehem, O Ephrathah, you who are little to be, you are too little to be among the clans of Judah. From you shall come forth for me, and one who is to be a ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days." Now, I'll put it like this. In my time, I followed a little bit of rugby league, and they sometimes, you know, they talk about certain towns as a real nursery for rugby league talent. And they might say, oh, that guy, he's a product of Mount Isa, okay? Well, Jesus, he's a product of Bethlehem. In fact, he's the product of Bethlehem. We're being told in Jesus is the fulfillment of all these promises in the Old Testament, the promised ruler, the great king, has finally arrived today in the town of David. A saviour has been born. He is the Messiah, the Lord. So I just want to finish with talking about what sort of king is Jesus and what sort of response he demands from us, from you, from me. You know, compared to Caesar Augustus, I mean, Jesus looked like nothing. I mean, Caesar gives an order and millions of people just have to, you know, upend their lives. You know, Joseph and Mary on the 5-day walk. You know, in verse 1, we read it before, where it says that Caesar Augustus made a decree for the entire Roman world. Literally, it actually just says there, for all the world. That's sort of how all-encompassing his rule was seen. And Augustus, he led legions of soldiers and he lived in a palace with eye-watering wealth. But what are we told about Jesus? Well, his parents are forced to go on a march. They're not rich. There's no room for them. When Jesus is born, his cot is a manger. If you want to know what a manger is, it's a food trough for animals. He's not attended to by guards and soldiers and palace staff. The contrast between Caesar Augustus, who lived in Rome, the center of the world, and baby Jesus, who was born in some Judean backwater, well, it's actually on purpose. But this is the irony of Christmas. And the message of Christmas, it's an invitation. You know, the shepherds, after the angelic message, are keen to get to Bethlehem to check out Jesus. And it's the same message for us. So please go and check out Jesus. And, you know, it's not about physically traveling to Bethlehem. That moment's past. But truly, you can come to Jesus. You can check out Jesus. You can get to know him. You can learn about his life, his teachings, his deeds, his miracles. You can learn about his death on a cross. You can discover, most amazingly of all, his resurrection to life. And just to play out the comparison to a great king like Caesar Augustus, Jesus, in comparison, you know, in his work and mission on this earth, was not a commander and a, you know, general of armies, but he did command demons and disease as he healed people. He commanded the weather. Imagine a day like today, someone commanding the weather. He commanded death. He rose again. Jesus is the promised king. He's the Messiah. And I just want to say the stakes are now high in terms of whether you'll come to Jesus or not. It is a life or death thing. Jesus as king has complete authority. His rule is absolute. The only right response is to submit to King Jesus, to be subject to him, to follow him. But King Jesus, the promised Christ, is not some despot, some dictator. He doesn't boss people around for his pleasure. Maybe you've never thought of being subject under the rule of someone would ever be something good. But actually, you'd want to follow Jesus. I want us to finish up by going back to Micah, that Old Testament prophecy. And before we were at chapter 5, the Messiah will come from Bethlehem. But now going to the very last words of Micah, this is what the Messiah is like. This is how Jesus shows his authority, and no human emperor, leader, king can do what Jesus does. It says this, you will again have compassion on us. You'll tread our sins underfoot and hurl our iniquities into the depths of the sea. You'll be faithful to Jacob and show love to Abraham as you pledged an oath to our ancestors in days long ago. And these are the very last words of Micah. You know, great kings, you know, they can come along, they can crush skulls, they can crush the enemy, but Jesus will crush our sin under his foot. You know, like standing on a cockroach. You know, a cockroach doesn't come back from being stood on, does it? It's the end of it. Well, Jesus will tread on and smash and destroy our sins. How we've shamefully treated him and shamefully treated others. This is why Jesus died on a cross in our place, to die for our sins, to destroy our sins. Now, Jesus, our King, not only died on a cross, he rose again. Nothing stands in the way of Jesus ruling forever, certainly not death. And by his death and resurrection, he hurls our iniquities, as it says, which means our twisted, distorted, dirty ways, into the depths of the sea. That's King Jesus, his power. You know, when you put your trust in Jesus, he takes all our secret shame, all our self-serving sin, and he catapults it over the horizon line, never to be seen again. Jesus removes from us all that deserves his righteous judgment, so that we can be in relationship with him, so that we can experience and know his compassion, his great compassion, his great love forever. This Christmas story with Jesus born in Bethlehem, you know, it sort of looks cute. He looks sort of small and tiny there, just a little baby in Bethlehem, you know, against the might of Caesar. But it's all irony. It's Jesus who's the king. He's the promised Savior and Lord. You know, this Christmas you could do no better than coming to Jesus and trusting in him and following him. Accept his rule. Accept his rule over your life. And it's a good rule. He's the king who gave his life away at the cross for sinners like us. He rose again. And it's through Jesus and Jesus only that we can know God's compassion and love forever. I wish you all a very Merry Christmas. I'm just going to pray now. I invite you to pray if you'd like to do so. And I think the musos are going to come up on the stage as I just pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Jesus, the King, the Promised One, the Christ, our Lord, Thank you there in the beauty of this story of Mary and Joseph coming to Bethlehem. They're having this child wrapped and lying in a manger. There is the promised King. And Father, I pray that you would work in each one of our hearts here tonight, that you would lead us to not just be interested or amused in this story, but in fact you would draw us in to truly know this one, Christ the King, who died for us and rose again. I thank you so much for Jesus the King, and in his name we pray. Amen.